Let's pray. Lord, open your word to us, open our hearts to you. Speak to us now. In your name we pray. Amen. A number of years ago, Linnell and I knew a person who had a young cat that was very territorial. This person lived in a trailer house and the baseboards were actually mirrors. And this young cat repeatedly saw another cat, I put that in quotes, another cat in the baseboards, and was not happy about it. It would be under the chair looking at that other cat, pouting because there's another cat in the trailer house with it. And then it would finally work up the nerve to do something about it. So it would then charge the other cat full speed and hit its head in the baseboard. Kind of like, oh, that hurt. Then it would retreat back under the chair, pout some more, wait till the grogginess wore off, stare at that other cat, and charge it again. It did this over and over and over. Never learned. I'd watch that cat and I would just go like, duh, shake my head like. Which makes me wonder, do you suppose that God does the same thing? He looks down at us, mankind, sees the things that we do, and then just sometimes just shakes his head and goes, duh. Really? I bet he does. The fact is, we human beings do some pretty strange things, don't we? Ken Lewis's brother was a real estate agent, and he was showing a well-dressed woman a luxury condominium. And as he was taking her around, showing her the condominium, she noticed outside the window there were some mounds out there. And she asked what those mounds were for. And he said, well, those are ammunition dumps from the Navy. That's where they store some of their ammunition. The mounds are on top of bunkers, which is where they store the ammunition. Well, she was kind of, you know, a little bit uneasy with that. So she asked, are there any nuclear weapons in those bunkers? And he said, honestly, I don't know. I don't know. To which she said, well, then maybe we better look at some condominiums on the other side of the building. Yeah. As if it's going to make a difference if there's a nuclear explosion. Duh. But is that any more foolish than mankind when mankind rejects God and throws off all restraint? Not really. As a matter of fact, it's far from it. This is about as foolish as you get. When we reject God and throw off all restraint, that's about as foolish as it gets. We're in Psalm 2. We've been going through the Psalms. We're back in Psalms again. Psalm 2 today. Next week we'll be in Psalm 19. We'll skip through the ones. We're picking out my favorite Psalms. And this is one of my favorite Psalms. So Psalm 2, 1 through 4. David said, why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. Let's cast off all restraint. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Times haven't really changed, have they? In David's day, our day, I'm sure every day that's ever existed, there are always nations who rage, always peoples who plot. Against, it says in the next verse, the Lord, that's God the Father, and his anointed, God the Son. And they plot against God the Father and God the Son to, verse 3, throw off all restraint. They want their freedom. They want their freedom. But as it says in verse 1, it's all in vain. It's all in vain. When you cast off God's laws, when you cast off all restraint, really what you're doing is casting off all common sense. And guess who pays in the end? Consider what we are witnessing in our day. Now, I'm talking about society as a whole. I'm not trying to step on anyone's toes. If I do understand that God is a God of mercy and he cleans up our messes, but consider what we're witnessing in our day in our society. I'm a child of the 60s and the 70s, and I remember how it was, and back then people wanted to have their freedoms, cast off restraint. They wanted to be able to end a marriage if it wasn't a healthy marriage in their minds. They wanted to be able to cast off restraint, and we have. Nowadays, 40 to 50% of marriages end up in divorce. Our society back then wanted the freedom to terminate a pregnancy if such a pregnancy was undesired. Since Roe versus Wade, 63 million babies have been aborted in our country. Our society wanted the freedom to love whoever they wanted to love. Boy, I remember those days. Free love. Those are strange days. Now we have marriages, same-sex marriages. We have people advocating for consensual sex between adults and minors as young as an 8-year-old. And we have people advocating for consensual sex. I don't know how you have consensual sex in this case, but consensual sex between a human being and an animal. So at the same time, many in those days and ages were saying we need TV shows that are more realistic. Realistic. I remember that. And we have those now, don't we? Nowadays we have shows on TV that would have made a sailor blush a generation ago. I guess that's realistic. When I was growing up, most families had 3 to 5 children. Now many young people are opting not to have children, but to have pets instead. And they call them their children, and they treat them like their children, and so on and so forth. And I've always had pets. I like pets. Not too long ago, you did whatever you needed to do to support your family. You may not have liked the job that you had, but you were thankful you had a job, and you worked wherever you had to work to support your family. Nowadays, you don't feel like working? You don't. We have cast off all restraint, haven't we? We've cast off all restraint. And in the process, are we happier than we were before? I don't think so. We have so many issues today as a society, so many issues individually that we can't even list them. We're like that cat. We keep on bashing our head into the baseboard, bashing our head against God's laws. And we're knocking ourselves senseless. And I think God just shakes his head and goes, people, 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 what are you doing? What are you doing? Of course, God only puts up with foolishness for so long. The person we knew who owned the cat eventually had to give it away. The cat never learned, so the gal that we knew gave the cat away. What else could she do? In the same vein, eventually the Father, God the Father, will say, enough is enough. And then he will say to his son, go. Go and clean up the mess. Have at it. David, speaking prophetically in verses 5 and 6, says, then he, God, will speak to them, the people on the earth, and will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. When God the Father says, enough is enough, he will, verse 5, pour out his wrath upon the world. He will terrify them with his fury. And he will, in verse 6, set up Jesus Christ as the king of the whole world. And then Jesus will put an end to our foolishness. At long last, someone will do something about how foolish we are. Think about this. Whenever people cast off all restraint, God eventually deals with them. In the days of Noah, he sent a flood. When it was enough, he sent the flood. In the days of Abraham, when enough was enough for Sodom and Gomorrah, he rained down fire upon the two cities. When the sons of the Amorites, those who lived in the area before Israel, came back to the promised land, when the sins of the Amorites reached their full measure, God used the Israelites to wipe the Amorites off the map. And so thoroughly did they do this that who even talks about Amorites today? When Israel themselves wandered far from the Lord, God used the Assyrians and the Babylonians to chastise them. And then, when the Assyrians and the Babylonians went to excess, he punished them for their excess. And I could go on. One wonders what God will do to our country when our country's sin reaches its full measure. One day he will say, enough is enough. And then he will act. In the last days, which is what David is talking about here, the whole world will throw off restraint and God will deal with them. The sun will return with the heavenly host, with you and I in his train, and he will war against the rebellious world. It's too bad man is as stubborn as he is. Amen. Before Christ returns, as God begins to pour out his wrath upon the world, and then as Christ returns, as God's wrath reaches its climax, many, many, many people will die. Billions, billions with a B, will die. And the whole world will tremble at the coming of the presence of Jesus Christ. Foolishness often feels like freedom. But there's a terrifically high price associated with foolishness. And when the bill comes due, foolishness doesn't feel like freedom anymore. It just feels like foolishness. And the bill's coming due. It's not a question of if our nation or if the world will have to foot the bill. It's more a question of when, how soon. And yet so many people in our country rushed out to each other in foolishness and throwing off all restraint. They are proud of their foolishness. Do we as a nation really think that God will not deal with us as he has other nations in the past? Do we really think that? I think some do. Let's go on. One day the Father will send the Son and he'll say, go clean up the mess on the earth. And then Jesus Christ will establish his kingdom on earth and he will execute justice on earth. Verses 7 and 8 and 9. I, God the Son, is Jesus speaking now. I, God the Son, will tell of the decree. The Lord, that's God the Father, said to me, you are my Son, today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Verse 8, all the nations of the earth, all the nations, will be given to Christ as a heritage, even to the ends of the earth. And the world will war against Christ when he returns, but he will break them with a rod of iron. As it says, before Christ returns, man will all but destroy himself in his own foolishness. And then when Christ returns, man will compound his foolishness by opposing the Lord and warring against the Lord. But they will not succeed. Christ will break them with a rod of iron. To put it bluntly, he will beat man into submission. Why, oh why, do we have to be so stubborn? In Psalm 32, 9, God pleads with man not to be like a mule. Don't be stubborn like a mule, he says. Man is stubborn like a mule, isn't he? In the parable of the prodigal son, Luke 15, 11 through 32, you know the story. The son thinks he'd be much better if he can throw off all restraint and be on his own. Leave his father, leave his home, go out to the big brave world and do what he wants to do. And so he goes and quickly spends all of his inheritance and then finds himself in dire straits. You know the story, he eventually is feeding the pigs, wishing that he could eat the food that the pigs have. And then eventually he comes to his senses and goes home, where he's welcomed by the Father. But I wonder how long it took him to get to that point. How long did he feed the pigs, wishing he could eat their food? How long did he feed the pigs before he finally came to his senses? Stubborn. We're stubborn. And then you know as well as I do that for every son who does return home, who comes to his senses, for every son who comes to his senses and returns to the Father, there are 3, 5, 10 other sons who never do, who would prefer to eat the slop of the pigs than admit that they have goofed up and go home. We can be so foolish, so stubborn, so foolish. After Christ conquers the earth, he will put an end to this foolishness. In Micah 4:2-4, it tells us that Jesus will cause wars to cease, and he will make the inhabitants of the earth prosper. It says that many nations will come to Jerusalem to learn the ways of the Lord. They'll send ambassadors, whatever the case might be, and say, teach us the ways of the Lord. Indeed, even the times will have changed somehow. In Isaiah 11:6-7, it says, even the wolf and the lamb will dwell together after Christ establishes his kingdom, and the lion will eat grass with the cattle. When Jesus reigns on earth, he will make us do what we should have been doing all along. He will make us behave. He will, as it says in Isaiah 30:18, and here's the Living Version that I'm quoting, he will conquer us to bless us. He will conquer us to bless us. So how should we respond? Verses 10 through 12. David said, now therefore, O kings, be wise, be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Despite how the nations rage, despite how peoples plot against the Lord and his anointed, despite their attempts to throw off all restraint, God just laughs, just shakes his head. And in his time, God will establish his Son as the king of the whole earth. And the Son will rule the nations with an iron rod. He will firmly establish justice for all. So in light of all that, we ought to, as it says in verse 11, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. We ought to submit our hearts to him and serve him. And we ought to kiss the Son. Verse 12, we ought to love and adore him. We need Jesus, don't we? We need him. When my two girls were young, they sometimes would take out more toys than they should. You know how it is, they take out the one set of toys, they play with that, and then they leave it out, grab some more toys, and play with those, leave it out, grab some more toys, and pretty soon it was a disaster. And we probably had too many toys to start with. But they'd have their whole room just cluttered with toys everywhere, on the floor, on the bed, everywhere. And then when it came time to pick up the toys, me as a father, I had a right to say, you made the mess, deal with it. And sometimes I did, probably most of the time I did. They needed to learn self-control. But every once in a while, I would say to them, because they would just lock up when they'd see this mess they had to put away, they didn't even know where to start. Every once in a while, I would say to them, I'm going to help you. Come on, we got this. We'll just start right here and we'll put these away and then we got it. And you look in their eyes and you could just see the relief in their eyes that someone was going to help them clean up their mess. We all need someone to clean up our mess, don't we? We as individuals, we're sinners. We need God to clean up our mess. We as a society, we live in a fallen world. We need God to clean up our mess. Indeed, fallen man is a mess, period. But Jesus enters into our heart, if we let him. He causes us to be born again, and then slowly but surely he cleans up our mess, doesn't he? Until the very end, on the day when he returns, are we going to be with him? And then he'll finish the job, and we won't be a mess anymore. In the same way, this fallen world is a mess. It's a mess and getting messier every day. But one day Jesus will return. He'll clean up the mess. And he'll make the world be what it ought to be, what it was created to be. Kiss the Son. Adore him. Be grateful for him. How we need Jesus. So back to the cat. A cat smashing his head into the baseboard is foolish. A cat constantly smashing his head into the baseboards and never learning from it is really foolish. But again, that's not nearly as foolish as mankind when they reject Christ and throw off all restraint. When mankind rejects Christ and throws off all restraint, that's completely, utterly, absolutely foolish to the nth degree. Doesn't get any more foolish than that. And how God must shake his head, how he must shake his head and go, people, when will you learn? Know for a certainty that one day God will judge fallen man for his foolishness. But first he offers whosoever will mercy. He says, stop. Stop smashing your head into the baseboard. Come to me and be made whole. May you and I and the ones we love, may we submit to Christ and live. May we submit to Christ and live. And may God revive our nation yet one more time. May he call us back to himself one more time. Let's pray. Lord, we can be so foolish. So foolish. We want our own way as if our way is better than your way. We want control as if we could run our life better than you can. Sometimes we think that we know better what is good for us. How funny is that? You're the one who made us. And the scriptures tell us that we cannot even plumb the depths of our own heart. We cannot even understand all the things that motivate us and move us and the things that we feel and the things that we think. We cannot even understand all of that ourselves. And as a society, Lord, we are running almost as fast as we can from you, throwing off restraint right and left. And we're paying the price because of it. Lord, if we are wandering from you right now, turn us back to you. Forgive us. If we are wandering from you, being foolish, then, Lord, here and now we say, we're done. We're done with it. We submit to you again. We don't want to bash our heads against the baseboard. We don't want to bash our heads against your laws. Your ways are good. we submit to you. And thank you that you are like the Father who welcomes the prodigal son back. You love us, you embrace us, you run to meet us. Oh, how you love us, how you long for us to return to you. And finally, Lord, we pray for our nation. Forgive us. Have mercy on us. There are many, many things that we as a nation still do well. There are many ways we are a good nation. But we are thrown off restraint, and it's starting to catch up with us. And you will not put up with that forever. One more time yet, Lord. There's been 3 great revivals in our nation. One more time. One more time, Lord. One more time, revive us. In your name we pray. Amen.